Some sparkling fires on heaven's bright visage shone, his azure robe the orient blueness lost, when she, whose wit and reason both were gone, called for a squire she loved and trusted most, to whom, and to a maid, a faithful one, part of her will she told, how that in post she would depart from Judah's king, and feigned that other cause her sudden flight constrained. The trusty squire provided needments meet, as for their journey fitting most should be. Meanwhile her vesture, pendant to her feet, Erminia doffed, as erst determined she. Stripped to her petticoat, the virgin sweet so slender was that wonder was to see. Her handmaid, ready at her mistress' will, to arm her helped, though simple were her skill. The rugged steel oppressed and offended her dainty neck and locks of shining gold. Her tender arm so feeble was it bended when that huge target it presumed to hold. The burnished steel, bright rays far off extended, she feigned courage and appeared bold. Fast by her side, unseen, smiled Venus' son, as erst he laughed when Alcides spun. Oh, with what labor did her shoulders bear that heavy burthen, and how slow she went! Her maid, to see that all the coasts were clear, before her mistress through the streets was sent. Love gave her courage, love exiled fear, love to her tired limbs new vigor lent, till she approached where the squire abode. There took they horse forthwith, and forward rode. Disguised they went, and by unused ways, and secret paths they strove unseen to gone, until the watch they meet, which sore affrays their soldiers knew, when swords and weapons shone. Yet none to stop their journey once essays, but place and passage yielded every one. For that white armor and that helmet bright were known and feared in the darkest night. Erminia, though some deal she were dismayed, yet went she on, and goodly countenance bore. She doubted lest her purpose were bewrayed, her too much boldness she repented sore. But now the gate, her fear and passage stayed, the heedless porter she beguiled therefore. "I am Clorinda! Ope the gate," she cried, "whereas the king commands, this late I ride." Her woman's voice and terms all framed been, most like the speeches of the princess stout. Who would have thought on horseback to have seen that feeble damsel armed round about? The porter her obeyed, and she, between her trusty squire and maiden, sallied out. And through the secret dales they silent pass, where danger least, least fear, least peril was. But when these fair adventurers entered were, deep in a vale, Erminia stayed her haste. To be recalled she had no cause to fear. This foremost hazard had she trimly passed. But dangers new, tofore unseen, appear. New perils she descried, new doubts she cast. The way that her desire to quiet brought, more difficult now seemed than erst she thought. Armed to ride among her angry foes, she now perceived it were great oversight. Yet would she not, she thought, herself disclose, until she came before her chosen knight. To him she purposed to present the rose, pure, spotless, clean, untouched of mortal wight. She stayed, therefore, and in her thoughts more wise, she called her squire, whom thus she gan advise. "Thou must," quoth she, "be mine ambassador. Be wise, be careful, true, and diligent. Go to the camp, present thyself before the Prince Tancredi, wounded in his tent. Tell him thy mistress comes to care his sore, if he to grant her peace and rest consent, against whom fierce love such cruel war hath raised. So shall his wounds be eased, her torment eased. And say, in him such hope and trust she hath, that in his powers she fears no shame nor scorn. Tell him thus much, and whatsoe'er he saith, unfold no more, but make a quick return. I, for this place is free from harm and scath. Within this valley we'll meanwhile sojourn." So spake the princess, and her servant true, to execute the charge imposed, flew, and was received, he so discreetly wrought, first of the watch that guarded in their place. Before the wounded prince then was he brought, who heard his message kind with gentle grace, which told, he left him tossing in his thought a thousand doubts, and turned his speedy pace, to bring his lady and his mistress word, she might be welcome to that courteous lord. But she, impatient, to whose desire grievous and harmful seemed each little stay, recounts his steps, and thinks, now draws he nigher, now enters in, now speaks, now comes his way. And that which grieved her most, the careful squire less speedy seemed than e'er before that day. Lastly she forward rode with love to guide, until the Christian tents at hand she spied. Invested in her starry veil, the knight in her kind arms embraced all this round. The silver moon, from sea uprising bright, spread frosty pearl upon the candid ground. And Cynthia-like, for beauty's glorious light, the lovesick nymph threw glittering beams around. And counselors of her old love she made, those valleys dumb, that silence and that shade. Beholding then the camp, quoth she, O fair and castle-like pavilions, richly wrought! From you how sweet, methinketh, blows the air! How comforts it my heart, my soul, my thought! Through heaven's fair face, from gulf of sad despair, my tossed bark to port well nigh is brought. In you I seek redress for all my harms. Rest midst your weapons, peace amongst your arms. Receive me then, and let me mercy find, as gentle love assureth me I shall. Among you had I entertainment kind, when first I was the Prince Tancredi's thrall. I covet not, led by ambition blind, you should be in my father's throne install. Might I but serve in you, my lord, so dear, that my content, my joy, my comfort were. Thus parleyed she, poor soul, and never feared the sudden blow of fortune's cruel spite. She stood where Phoebe's splendent beam appeared upon her silver armor, double bright. The place about her round she shining cleared with that pure white wherein the nymph was dight. The tigress great that on her helmet laid bore witness where she went and where she stayed. So as her fortune would, a Christian band their secret ambush there had closely framed, led by two brothers of Italia land, young Polyphern and Alicandro named. These with their forces watched to withstand those that brought victuals to their foes untamed, and kept that passage. Them Erminia spied, and fled as fast as her swift steed could ride. But Polyphern, before whose watery eyes his aged father, strong Clorinda, slew, when that bright shield and silver helm he spies, the championess he thought he saw and knew, upon his hidden mates for aid he cries, against his supposed foe, and forth he flew. As he was rash and heedless in his wrath, bending his lance, "Thou art but dead," he saith. As when a chased hind her course doth bend, to seek by soil to find some ease or goad, whether from craggy rock the spring descend, or softly glide within the shady wood, if there the dogs she meet, where late she wend to comfort her weak limbs in cooling flood, again she flies, swift as she fled at first, forgetting weakness, weariness, and thirst. So she that thought to rest her weary sprite and quench the endless thirst of ardent love with dear embracements of her lord and knight, but such as marriage rites should first approve, when she beheld her foe with weapon bright threatening her death, his trusty courser move, her love, her lord, herself abandoned, she spurred her speedy steed, and swift she fled. Erminia fled. Scantly the tender grass, her Pegasus with his light footsteps bent, Her maiden's beast for speed did likewise pass, yet diverse ways, such was their fear, they went. The squire, who all too late returned, alas, with tardy news from Prince Tancredi's tent, fled likewise when he saw his mistress gone. It booted not to sojourn there alone. But Alejandro, wiser than the rest, who this supposed Clorinda saw likewise, to follow her yet was he nothing pressed, but in his ambush still in close he lies. A messenger to Godfrey he addressed, that should him of this accident advise, how that his brother chased with naked blade Clorinda's self, or else Clorinda's shade. Yet that it was, or that it could be she, he had small cause or reason to suppose. Occasion great and weighty must it be to make her ride by night among her foes. What Godfrey willed, that observed he, and with his soldiers lay in ambush close. These news through all the Christian army went, in every cabin talked, in every tent. Tancred, whose thoughts the squire had filled with doubt by his sweet words, supposed now, hearing this, "Alas! The virgin came to seek me out, and for my sake her life in danger is." Himself forthwith he singled from the rout, and rode in haste, though half his arms he miss, among those sandy fields and valleys green, to seek his love, he galloped fast, unseen. End of Book 6.